Hey, rabbit holers. Today is a special episode. We are going to do our usual thing, bring you some cool and fun history from the Pacific Northwest, but we also have a mission. Today, we want to bring awareness to a crisis that is happening in the Tacoma area. Recently, the Tacoma Humane Society took in 50 to 100 cats from a single home. Most of these cats are sick and malnourished. This puts an extreme burden on already thin resources. We need your help. Please, after you listen to this episode, which I promise is fun and lighthearted, mostly, will you head on over to the Tacoma Humane Society's website and donate? Even better, if you are a local, would you consider volunteering, fostering, or adopting a pet in need? And if you can't do any of these things, can you at least share the message on social media? Search for Rainy Day Rabbit Holes on Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, links in show notes, and share our posts to your followers. Let's help some of these poor kitties. Come on. Cat ladies and cat dudes and cat people of the world, unite. Welcome to the Rainy Day Rabbit Holes podcast, your escape from the mundane.
Dive into the rich history of the Pacific Northwest with us and let your mind wander down the rabbit hole.
Because in the Northwest, it's always raining something weird. Jody.
Shay.
Why did the bear cross the road?
Probably to go eat some camper's food.
No, actually, it was to go have a beer at the bar of the Tacoma Hotel.
Ooh, that sounds like a fun bear.
I'm Shay.
And I'm Jody.
Let's fall down the rabbit hole.
Tacoma has a complicated relationship with animals. We've told you about the disturbing sport of octopus wrestling. You remember that? A Tacoma shopping center held the gorilla Ivan in a cage as an attraction for 27 years. Did you ever go see Ivan?
I did not see him.
That was in the 70s.
Yeah. Tukwila was really far away from Tacoma in the 70s.
Well, when you're a kid, anything that's more than 2 miles away is too far.
Right. It seemed like a day trip at least.
When we lived in Enumclaw, it was the biggest deal to go to Seattle.
Yeah, even I lived in Tukwila, it was a deal. Like it was a day and we made plans. And
it was a big special trip.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
It was a huge deal to go to Seattle. Mm-hmm. Like it was a different country we were visiting.
More like the next city.
Well, from Enumclaw, that's a good
hour. Yep, that's a trek.
And
it's a whole different world. You're going from, especially back then,
A little
completely farmlands.
So. Cow hick town to the cosmopolitan city.
Yeah.
The B&I shopping center in Tacoma boasted an elephant named Sunny and three chimpanzees named April, Kathy, and Murphy. April used to stroll around the food court and eat off of the store's lunch counter until the health department shut that down.
How rude. Everybody was happy. Who complained?
Plus, the store zoo had a lion, a jaguar, snakes, and turtles. I mean, it was a different time, right? Definitely. To go to a shopping center and there be just animals in cages, and that was a thing that was normal.
Like,
and
everybody was like,
yeah, it was a low-level zoo. B&I had kind of this, like, circus theme.
Yeah, I kind of remember that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But probably the most beloved and memorable furry Tacoman of history, besides Ivan and his heartbreaking tale, was Jack the Bear. In the late 1800s, two hunters killed Jack's mother, but surprisingly had a moment of conscience and couldn't bring themselves to shoot Jack and his sister Jenny.
Oh, so there was two.
Yeah, there were two bear cubs. They decided it would be a good idea to bring the bear cubs home to raise as pets, like you do.
Like you do. I'm side note, I don't know if you want to keep this in or not, but did you hear about RFK and his bear venture?
God. This is kind of perfect. Yes. So if you guys don't follow the news, RFK recently shared a story with, was it Roseanne Barr?
Yeah.
With Roseanne Barr about how he and somebody else hit a bear cub with their car, and then he was going to take it home and put it in his freezer for meat, but instead it sat in the van all day. So he decided to put it in.
He had more places to go.
He had a bunch of stuff to do. I don't know. He was like squirrel hunting or something. I don't remember. But
in New York.
He decided to go put the bear cub in Central Park and stage it like it had been hit by a bicycle. This is the most bizarre story.
Right? And what a bizarre person. Sense. Like, why any of that?
He's weird.
Right. He wanted it to look like it got hit by a bike to then watch a news story about what was the goal in that?
Like, I don't know. Was bizarre. It to be like these radical bicyclists and what in Central Park are wreaking havoc?
Why are you even talking about it? It's
why?
So bizarre.
And isn't this something that happened in like
you're
the 70s?
For president. You hope that people don't uncover these things.
He's like, I'm just going to get ahead of it.
I'm going to highlight it.
I'm just going to get it out there so that it's out there so we can move past it. But everybody's like, why?
What did he say? I'm not much of a church boy or something like that. I can't remember. I have a troubled past.
Okay. Talk about
to include this.
Talk about weird. Oh, God. So now this tale leaves Jenny behind because we don't hear about her again. But as Jack grew, lo and behold, he became a bear. I mean, he was always a cute little fuzzball. I didn't know he was a bear until a number of years ago when he happened to turn into a bear. And now he wants to be known as a bear.
He was going by a fluff ball. Now he wants to, is that convenient?
Somebody should look into this. Sorry, guys.
I don't know. I heard he always identified as a bear.
I mean, he went to a historically black bear school. Excuse me, a historically bear school.
Yes. The school of bears. Oh, God. Who knew we could turn this?
Too much weird shit going on these days.
It's so bizarre.
So weird. Okay. Well, it turns out that an 800-pound bear is a rather difficult pet to keep around. I mean, I know of friends of mine who complain about how much their teenage boys eat. Can you imagine a teenage bear?
Oh, my gosh. Well, especially if it's the kind that needs to store it up in time for winter, right. Then you double down.
And they're probably grouchy at that age, mm-hmm. too, a teenage 800-pound teenage bear.
Aggressive, all that testosterone he doesn't know what to do with.
I hate you. You're not my real mom.
Yeah, well, your mom got hit by a car or something.
Doc, why don't you?
Oh my God.
Sorry. I just imagine an 800-pound bear is like a horny, grumpy teenager.
Horny, hungry, grumpy.
Horny, hungry, grumpy. Oh my God.
Oh God,
okay.
The smell. Just kidding.
Oh God. I mean, a teenage boy smells bad enough. And
teenage
then you add
bear.
Bear musk to it.
Oh, we're so stupid.
I love it. At this time, the Tacoma Hotel was one of the grandest hotels on all of the West Coast. It was huge and glorious and frequented by famous guests and even presidents. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me which ones because I did not put that down.
Famous ones.
Famous ones.
They're in our history books.
Yes, exactly. Somebody's mentioned them once or twice.
It's documented.
So for some wild reason, the proprietors of the hotel decided to buy Jack off of these two hunters. Weird business decisions.
You just buy Jack off. Oh. Get back to your story.
I have
to not catch that. I was counting on you. I was like, she did that on purpose. No, she didn't. She just kept going. She didn't know why I laughed.
Okay. All right. So, he quickly became a beloved member of the community. Technically, he lived in a pen between the rose garden of the hotel and the neighboring firehouse, but it seems that he pretty much had like free reign of the place. He would eat delicacies such as oysters, Spanish olives, and whatever Palms Hollandaise is, which isn't Palms like potatoes. So is this just like French fries with Hollandaise sauce on them? Is it like weird Tacoma poutine?
Oh, yeah. I've never heard of it, so I'm going to look it up for you.
Palms Hollandaise.
Tacoma poutine. That's what we're calling it from now on.
I know. Don't we know somebody that has some restaurants in Tacoma? I mean, Tacoma poutine is just Hollandaise sauce and like ham on top of...
Yeah.
What is it?
What's it called again?
Palms Hollandaise.
That's breakfast poutine in some
With hollandaise?
Yeah.
Okay. So he would unlatch his own gate and go for rambles down the street. The locals who knew him would give him a friendly tip of the cap and greeting. Jack was on a mission. He would wander into local saloons where the barman knew him and would set him up right.
Oh my God.
Jack would rise up onto 2 feet at the bar and pick up the mug of beer that the barman would set down in front of him. In a weird parody of a human, Jack would down his beer without spilling a drop.
He would pick it up in the glass and drink it. Oh my God, how I am so sorry I missed this era.
I know.
This
there's
would have been,
so many.
Can you imagine sitting there and a bear rolls in and people just get him a stool and a beer? You know he's not paying.
No.
It's on the house.
Yes. I mean, he doesn't have pockets.
Oh my God. They don't offer, you know, only men could get credit.
Right. I mean, terrible time to be a woman, but great time to be a bear.
Classic.
Then he would set the mug down and just amble out of the saloon. Then he might lumber back to the Tacoma Hotel, make a guest appearance in the billiards room where he would wow the posh customers, then head to the bar for another draft or sometimes a cosmopolitan.
Oh,
I read.
That's when
or
he was
martini.
Up.
I can't
that's
remember.
When he was feeling a little ritzy.
Exactly.
Or maybe he was on a date.
I don't know. You get a lady drunk enough and she might just be like, oh, hello, handsome.
We're choosing the bear these days. Who knows when that started?
Right? I mean, with me, you just put a red and black plaid shirt on him.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm in.
Kind of like Smokey the Bear.
Right? Oh, God, the Smokey the Bear in San Francisco.
He's hot.
Hot.
Different audience.
Eventually, one of the hotel's staff would escort him back to his pen and maybe even give him a gin and soda as a treat. He would make the easy climb back over the fence, slip his head back into his collar and chain, and settle in for a nap. Jack was a celebrity.
I bet. Oh, this had to be so amazing.
I know. It's incredible. I love this story so much. But unfortunately, because this is Tacoma, we can't have anything nice.
No
happy
nice.
Ending. One night, Jack slipped his collar and went out looking for a drink. A policeman that was new to the force and didn't know about the friendly, famous bear was startled by Jack's looming form on the dark street and shot poor Jack.
That is so sad.
He just wanted a beer.
How is that not part of their training program? Okay, by the way, there's bear.
I know.
Don't be surprised.
I mean, I'm sure Tacoma had other things on their mind, like the horrible corruption of the police. At that time,
hey,
but
you have to cover all your citizen safety, including Jack.
Including Jack the Bear. Again, because Tacomans are also weird. We love you guys, but this is weird.
Well, we're weird.
Jack's body was brought back to the hotel where they barbecued him and ate him. I mean,
it probably is delicious. Yeah, I'm thinking about this as somebody whose family grew up on a farm. I mean, I grew up with family who were farmers, I should say, and spent a lot of time there. I mean, that's what you do.
That's a lot of meat. An 800-pound bear. And I hear bear meat is tasty. So
I've heard it's tasty as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, but still, it's weird. So, apparently, his hide was taxidermied. And according to Chris from Pretty Gritty Tours, ended up at the Washington State Archives, but is now mysteriously missing.
How? Like?
A bear, like an 800-pound, like that's a big, like 6-foot bear.
Not a teddy bear.
No.
A full-grown man bear.
Yes. And it's solid. It doesn't move.
Right. Like, right. You can't pack it up and put it in the...
Right. You can't put it in your backpack. Put it under your shirt.
Somewhere. Yeah. How did they manage to lose Jack?
That's so weird.
It's so sad.
It is sad. That's a really sad story. I'm glad at least Jack had a little bit of a good life.
I bet he's in somebody's house and they think it's just some random taxidermied bear.
Right, like
or
grandpa
fake.
Had this weird bear and we're going to pass it down from family to family. And eventually somebody is going to like sell it at a yard sale for 50
bucks. You don't think
bucks.
They're fighting over it?
I don't know. Would you want a giant taxidermied bear?
Well, if I knew it was Jack, I would, but I guess that's the point. They
right.
probably don't.
If it was just a big bear, you'd be like, oh, this is kind of creepy and gross and I don't like it.
Well, I mean, maybe in the future. Right now, I'd be the coolest grandma in the city.
Yes. They'd be like, can we ride it, grandma?
Can I touch it?
Can I ride it? So Jack was not the only bear that had an impact on Tacoma. The Tacoma Humane Society was founded in part because of another story about a bear. In the 1880s, a drunken logger brought a bear cub into town, where he began kicking and beating it, trying to get it to perform tricks.
So disgusting.
So the local local police were called in, and the lumberjack was arrested. The Good Samaritan who called the police was most likely William Blackwell, a character that you will hear all about in a couple of weeks when we release our interview with Chris from Pretty Gritty Tours. Suffice to say, William Blackwell was a kind-hearted, charitable man who deplored violence and abuse. A few days after the bear cub incident, a group of town leaders, including William Blackwell, formed a group that is now the Humane Society for Tacoma and Pierce County. It was a group focused on putting an end to the inhumane treatment of animals and also children. And the Humane Society, as a national group, has had a huge impact on child safety and welfare, along with the welfare of animals. Like Chris told us, and you guys will hear in a couple of weeks, it really started more as a community to try to teach people to be more human, more humane, not only to animals, but to children and each other, because there was a lot of child abuse. And this really tried to help not just animals, but, but humans as well.
There was an effort to teach people to be humane, or that expect people to be humane.
Exactly, mm-hmm. Exactly. What does William Blackwell have to do with our first story about Jack the Bear? Well, Blackwell and his daughter Ruby were part of the reason that Jack was adopted by the Tacoma Hotel, because he was the hotel manager there.
That's how Jack got his job.
I mean, if being the coolest bear in the world and drinking beer is a job, he did a great job.
How amazing. I am truly sad I missed this era.
I know.
Only for that reason.
I know. The rest of the stuff, the smell,
we
the
just
lack
try it again.
Of plumbing.
I'm going to plop a cub down there and call RFK.
Oh, no. Then that poor bear's going to die. No.
Bizarre.
And so this brings us back around to why we are here today. On this episode, we aren't going to promote our Patreon or our pod friends. Instead, we want to share the predicament that our local Humane Society finds itself in. It's not a new crisis. Shelters around the world face similar problems. But recently, our local Tacoma Humane Society rescued somewhere between 50 and 100 cats from a single home, which is really sad. They already had like 300 cats, and this just stretches their resources to the breaking point. So they need our help. You can go to their website and explore the different ways to give. You can donate. I mean, money's always needed, right? You can donate items. They are always in need of supplies, and there's a list of that on the website as well.
What they're needing?
Yeah.
Excellent.
You can volunteer. You can foster a pet, and you can adopt.
I'm adopting.
You are?
On Thursday.
Oh my gosh, Jody. That's amazing. Yep. Yay. Plug everybody give a hand to Jody.
Yep. I'm helping out one of my granddaughters who's not from a pet-loving household. Well, I mean, they love them in other people's homes.
That's like my mom.
But anyway, my granddaughter really, 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 really wants a kitty, and it's her birthday. So I said, you know what? I could use a kitty. I ain't got nothing else going on.
Well, that's exciting. Thank you so much for doing your part. Yep. That's really awesome. I've been working on trying to get my husband to let us adopt some cats and dogs, or at least a cat and a dog. And I think that this story might have him maybe prepared to finally do that. So I'm going to try to drag him in.
The cause.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm going to try to drag him in next week and see if we can find... I'd really like to buy... Not buy. Excuse me. Oh, no. I'd really like to adopt a bonded pair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I think two is nice. When I had Storm and Coco, it was just so sweet to see them all cuddled up together and grooming each other and... They always had each other. And it was also nice, too, because then we each had, like, our own cat.
Oh, that's funny.
Because Rich loved Coco so much, and she just loved him so much. And then Storm was my kitty, right? So we could lay there, and we could each have a cat on us.
That's hilarious. I might have to think this through before Thursday.
I mean, they would let you take two.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm going to put it out in the universe, guys. Everybody put out those positive thoughts for Rich to finally... give in so that
Come
I can
on,
get
man.
A cat and a dog. And I've been wanting a dog for 10 years. And I'm like, yeah, I keep sending cats. And he's like, we have too many things to do this summer. We can't get one right now. And I was like, well, the summer is almost over.
Yeah, let's start planning now.
Exactly.
Time to start looking again.
So guys, remember, adopt, don't shop. Be a good human. And with that, spay and neuter your pets.
Like Bob Barker always
said. Exactly. I mean, it makes me so angry when I see people walking around with an uncut dog. And I'm like, what do you think that it's going to make you less of a man if your dog doesn't have balls?
Well, maybe they're breeding.
Sorry. You're not going to raise God's gift to Labradoodles or whatever the fuck. Like,
clearly you're not in the competition fashion.
No, I'm very much of an adopt, don't shop. But anyway, okay, I'm going to get off my soapbox. Calm fuck down.
I feel like there's a space for both.
All right. Well, after that tirade, guys, thank you everyone for tuning in. And I'm just going to make the assumption right here that you have already gone and donated to the Tacoma Humane Society. So thank you for that. Or adopted.
I know everybody's already looking on their phones at the website right now.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So go to our website and there's a link right there. There's a picture of a cute kitten and there's a button right there and you can click on that. And then also, I will be walking in the Walk to End Alzheimer's on September 28th in Seattle. And it would be really wonderful if you could donate to that as well. Right there on our website, there is the link to click on that and donate. Or if you want to come join us and walk, you can sign up and join our team. So again, rainydayrabbitholes.com is where you can find that. Plus, I'll put a picture of Jack the Bear.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah. So please share this episode more than you have shared any of the other episodes, because this is an episode trying to do good, not just to get us more links and likes and follows and shares and reviews or whatever. This one, we really want to get the word out to do some good. So please share.
Send it out in your group texts.
Exactly. And you get some fun little Tacoma history and talk about a bear. All right, guys. Well, from one childless cat lady to the rest.
See you down the rabbit hole.
Alzheimer's doesn't just affect individuals, it impacts entire families.
On Saturday, September 28th, 2024, we're walking to change that.
Join us for the Walk to End Alzheimer's in Seattle and help support those facing this challenging journey.
Every step we take brings hope to families struggling with Alzheimer's.
Every dollar we raise funds critical research and support services.
But we need your help to make a difference.
Not in Seattle? No problem. There are walks all across the country.
You can find one near you and be part of this nationwide movement.
Donate to our cause or join a walk in your area.
In Seattle, look for the Limitless Studio team and be part of our community fighting for a brighter future.
To learn more or donate, visit act.alz.org or search for Limitless Studios team or walk in your area.
You can also find a link at our website at rainydayrabbitholes.com.
Together, we can support families and work towards a world without Alzheimer's.
Will you stand with us wherever you are?